As summer approaches, we spend more time outdoors. And as we know, warmer weather brings out the bugs. And this summer looks like it's going to be a big one, especially for ticks. Susan Paskowitz joins us now. She's an expert on ticks and a professor and chair in the Department of Entomology at UW-Madison. Susan, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, how big does the tick population look this year?
So early on, we were seeing ticks out earlier than we normally do. You know, in a normal year, we don't really start picking much up until April and May. And this year, even in February, we were seeing adult deer ticks out. And so that was kind of interesting and obviously related to the very mild, relatively speaking, mild winter that we had. But every year we actually go to a series of different locations. We call them our sentinel locations throughout the state. And we do much more kind of formal sampling so that we can compare what we're seeing this year with what we've seen in past years during the month of June, which tends to be the peak period for transmission of Lyme disease and other tick-borne diseases in our state. And so what I can tell you is that we've been out now to 10 of our sites. We have not yet hit too many that are in the northernmost tier of the state, but 10 of the sites that are, say, from about Stevens Point further south, and those are actually not looking like we're seeing tremendously big numbers of ticks, at least for the deer ticks for this year. And we don't normally look at wood ticks in the same kind of detail. That's the other major tick that people in Wisconsin would get on them when they're hiking, but we're also not really seeing anything striking, I think, about that tick.
And you care about the deer ticks, so these are the little guys, right, first of all?
Yes, that's right. So an adult deer tick, maybe the size of a sesame seed. Right now what we're seeing is the peak of an immature stage called the nymph, and they're more the size of a poppy seed, so really difficult to see if you do get one on your person.
So it's the deer ticks that seem to carry most of the diseases that we worry about, is that right?
That is right. In Wisconsin, there are now vectors of 6 or 7 different things, everything from viruses to a parasite that's a little bit like malaria, and then a number of different bacterial agents, including the one that causes Lyme disease.
So there's another out there that I actually had not heard of until just today, a tick-borne disease that seems to be a little more severe. I'm not sure I'll pronounce it right, but something called Powassan.
Yes, indeed, Powassan virus. And so you're right. It is more severe for people who actually develop symptoms. In Wisconsin, we've had only 25 cases of Powassan virus since people started looking, which I think was about 2003. We had 5 cases last year. So this is a very rare disease. It's not something that's common like Lyme. You know, with Lyme, we estimate that we probably have about 30,000 cases a year, every single year. So quite a difference. So it's rare, you know, but again, unfortunately, there are a number of people who get it. It can be a fatal illness, or it can actually be pretty damaging to the nervous system. So people can have long-lasting impacts of being infected with that virus. We've done a little bit of work looking in some places where we know that this virus has been transmitted to people at what the levels of the virus look like in tick populations, and it's really low. So we've looked at these immature stages, for example, and we've not been able to detect it, and looking at about 100 to 200 samples from different places. When we look at the adult ticks, those numbers go up a little bit. So some places, for example, it might be 1 to 2%, you know, 1 out of 100, 2 out of 100 of the adult deer ticks that might be infected with this Powassan virus.
Are there particular areas of the state that are more closely associated with Powassan?
You know, usually when it's a deer tick associated agent, we do tend to see that the northern part of the state, less in the east, less in the southernmost quarter. And I believe that's true for Powassan as well. I think the reason for that is that when you get down here into the southern part of the state, going up kind of then on the eastern towards Green Bay and Door County, it's a lot more agricultural. So there's less of that kind of wooded habitat that the deer ticks do so well in. You know, if we go out and look in a grassy field, we rarely would find a lot of deer ticks. Maybe we get a few along the edge. Once in a while, we'll see them out in the middle of the opening, but that's not common. If in those kinds of places, we expect to see a lot more wood ticks.
Well, I know people may want to know what they need to worry about now. In other words, what are the symptoms of POAS? This is very rare, again, let's stress that. But if someone should develop symptoms, what should they be looking for?
You know, unfortunately, they're not. I don't think they're particularly obvious. A lot of times, symptoms of these diseases, you start with fever, you might have headache, you might have muscle aches. I think Powassan is the same. You know, differently there, if it develops into something really nasty, you are going to go see your doctor. You're going to know, because symptoms will be signs of, you know, invasion of your nervous system. So you might have confusion, and you might have a stiff neck, and you might have mobility problems. And so those are the kinds of things that would send you, I think, to the doctor anyway. So they're not really that different from a lot of other infections that you might pick up in the summer. And unfortunately, because it's a virus, there really aren't any medications, I think, yet that have been used against Powassan that are particularly effective.
Entomologist Susan Paskowitz from UW-Madison is with us now to talk about this year's tick season in Wisconsin. And Lyme disease, that's one that more of us are familiar with. I know several people who've been treated for Lyme disease. It seems like there's a lot of awareness around it. But Susan, can you walk us through what we need to look out for when it comes to ticks and Lyme disease?
Sure. So yes, Lyme disease definitely our most abundant tick-borne pathogen, most prevalent, you know, 30,000 people probably every year in the state of Wisconsin who are picking up that disease. And, you know, you can protect yourself by trying to stay in those more open areas. If you're hiking in the woods, which everybody ought to do, right, get out and enjoy our beautiful woods here, it's going to be important in those kinds of environments to take some personal protection. And so I always recommend to people who are just out recreationally that they stay kind of in the middle of the hard pack of the trails and try not to brush up against the vegetation along the sides of the trails, because these ticks are kind of cool this way. They climb up the vegetation and they hang out there waiting to get some kind of stimulus. And once they know that something's moving by, then they'll grab on to whatever brushes up against them. So if you stay in the middle of the hard pack, there aren't going to be deer ticks so abundant there. The other thing you can do is you can treat your shoes with a chemical called permethrin. So you don't want to spray that on your shoes when you're wearing them, or your sandals or something, because you don't want to get it on your skin. But for me and my field team, we do treat our clothing. We're always wearing long pants. We've got socks. We're going to treat those things with this permethrin compound. And once the clothes have dried, they are pretty good at repelling the ticks or at killing any of the ticks that actually walk up your clothing.
I always think of spring as the busiest time for ticks. May in particular, I've gone out for hikes and come back covered, and then seems like later in the summer it tapers off.
Yeah, absolutely. Your observation is dead on. And partly that's because when you're out in that early part, that April, May part, you're seeing those adult ticks, which are a little bit bigger, so they're much easier for you to see when you come back covered or when your dog comes back and has a lot of ticks on the dog. And then we see a second peak in October, but not as many people are out kind of hiking at that time of the year. So the hunters probably will be seeing them then, but, you know, the regular population, it's that April, May when they notice it. So then again, unfortunately, just to stress this to people, right now is actually the time when those nymphal ticks, the ones that are the size of the poppy seeds, that's what we think actually makes people sick the most, because you just don't notice them. So you need to be doing very careful tick checks, doing your best to protect your person. You can use repellents. You can use these clothing. And then if none of that works, of course, after you've been out in places where you might have been exposed, you want to watch for symptoms in the summer. And if you get symptoms, get to your doctor, get a prophylactic treatment, or get a treatment of your disease as quickly as possible.
Now, Susan, you use the word tick check. Can you describe for us what a good quality tick check would be?
Yeah. So for me, what I do is I take a shower with a scrubby first when I get back from the field every day. And I try to use one of those back scrubbies, you know, the whole thing. I'm feeling my hair through my hair very carefully. When I get out of the shower, then I look very carefully and very slowly at pretty much every part of my body that I can actually see. Obviously, you know, if a tick gets in the middle of your back and you don't have somebody to help you check that, then you're probably not going to detect it, especially these tiny ticks. But you know, unfortunately, even me with my careful tick checks, I can recall a couple of times where I was done with all my check, and I sat down to call my husband on the phone, and I looked down, and there was a tiny little deer tick walking up my arm. I thought it was a freckle. So, you know, even with the level of scrutiny that we give them, and we know the size, you know, we know what to look for, we still have a hard time always finding them.
Yeah, I read an article today suggesting that you ask a friend or a family member to check the parts of you where the sun doesn't shine, because there could be a tick there. Like, it can get into awkward territory. Is it that important that you check every nook and cranny?
It is true. I mean, in general, for me, I find, especially with the adults, that they do tend to like to be, you know, on your head. They often will go up. I don't think that's as true as those nymphal stages, so I found them attached at my knee. I found them on my arm, so they could be any place. A lot of people who get Lyme, though, as a result of tick bite, they do develop this symptomatic rash. And so you're actually kind of lucky if you develop this, they call it erythema migrans. If you develop that rash, then it's a no-brainer.
Then you know.
It's really obvious, yeah, that's what you have and you should go get the treatment. And the doctor will recognize that pretty readily.
So what about our pets? Because you mentioned our pets can go outside and bring them back in. What should we do to make sure the pets don't do that?
Well, so, you know, unfortunately, depending on where you are, one of the methods is you just have to sit down with the dog and comb through it as carefully as you can and try to remove all the ticks that you find. A lot of people will treat their animals with something like a Frontline product. That's what I always do to my dog.
Does it work pretty well?
Yeah, it does, actually. Sometimes the dog will bring a tick into the house, but normally those ticks have gotten a little dose of this chemical and it'll kill them. So I might find one, like, dried up or almost dead, you know, something like that. So I do use that to try to keep those and fleas, you know, down on my animals.
So if you do find one of those dead ticks, say, on your dog, does that mean the tick has already bitten your dog and you should see a vet?
Well, you know, again, it probably depends an awful lot on how long that tick was attached. It's much like the human situation. If a tick is on you for 24, 36 hours, less than that, then the likelihood that you're going to get Lyme goes way down. It would be the same for your dog. Mm. So if you had a tick that had been on the dog for less than a day, you're probably okay.
And Susan, as we wrap up, let's say you find a tick on yourself. What's the best way to get it off?
Oh, really good question. We've been trying a number of new things this summer, so we might have to report later after we've actually got some data from our field team. But the way we've done it always in the past is we'll take a pair of tweezers. We take the tweezers and put them as close to where the tick is embedded. It's got little mouth parts that are actually inserted into your skin. And then we do a slow pull backwards because you're really trying to get that tick to release itself rather than pulling it too firmly, in which case you can leave the mouth parts actually inside the body, which you don't want to do.
Well, it's going to be an interesting summer, Susan. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing all this.
No problem.
That was Susan Paskowitz, professor and chair of the Department of Entomology at UW-Madison. And she joined us to talk about this year's tick season in Wisconsin. To learn more, go to wiscontext.org/ticks.